Book of Psalms, a wonderful book in the Bible. The book of Psalms, and this morning we're going to be looking at Psalm number 3. All right, the book of Psalms and Psalm number 3 in the Word of God this morning. And we'll read the entire Word of God, simply 8 small verses there, short verses. And we'll read it in its entirety and try to pick up on a few things I believe the Lord would have us to get glean from the Scriptures this morning out of Psalm number 3. The Bible said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Isn't that something? David said, God just knocked her teeth out. Amen. Righteous indignation's good sometimes, fellas. That's right. Hey, that's right. I'm telling you right. David said, now said, what God done, He just rose up and knocked her teeth out. Amen. Of the lies. And then he says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon Thy people, Selah. Well, that's reading all 8 verses. Father, bless the reading of Your Word now. Help every heart today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, class, we pick up this morning on Psalm number 3. We've looked already at Psalm 1 and 2 and the revolt of the ungodly and the consummation of them where they will spend eternity, and just how vain their efforts against God really are. Now, when we come to Psalm number 3 this morning, the psalmist here, or the psalm really here, it finds its occasion in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18. And of course, that is the story of David as he flees his kingly palace during the rebellion of Absalom. David here in those particular chapters, the Bible talks about how David crossed the brook Kidron. In the midst of the night, he ascended up over the Mount of Olives. And the Bible said that he went barefoot. He was of a sorrowful heart. And he was accompanied only by a handful of small, faithful followers that went after him. In fact, I want to read that scripture for you, where the Bible said, and David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and he wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up weeping as they, and they went weeping as they went up. Now, David here is very despondent in his heart. He's a very discouraged man. He's found himself to be despised in the eyes of the people that he loved. In fact, in the eyes of those that he had given his life and jeoparded his life to save in battle against the Philistines and against others. And now through a long-haired boy by the name of Absalom, David is driven from his palace. He's driven from the city of Jerusalem, from the place of worship, and he's driven out into the field. And as he goes discouraged, despondent, dejected by those that loved him. And you can read in the first 2 verses there, where David said, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. He said, many there be that say of my soul, there is no help of God in him. And then David said, Selah. Let's just back up and meditate on that thing just for a minute. David said, I believe there is some help from God for me. Now, before I really get into the end of the text itself, I want to give you the New Testament counterpart for this text. That is, fellas, there is a situation in the New Testament that is identical to this situation that developed in the life of David. You'll find it the night that our Lord was betrayed into the hands of sinful men by Judas Iscariot. If you read the night of the betrayal, where our Lord Himself, like David of old, crossed the brook Kidron on His way en route to the Garden of Gethsemane, and eventually He went on to Calvary. Now, like David, our Lord was distressed and despised of men. In fact, Psalm 53 points out just how despised our Lord was in the eyes of the revolutionaries, those that had revolted against Him. He was deserted by most. The disciples had forsook Him and fled. He was despised in the eyes of men. He was dejected by all. But I want you to get a hold of this. He was not without victory in his own heart. Fellas, I want to say this morning. Victory is a matter of the inner heart. A child of God, though in precarious situations and overwhelmed by the enemy on the outside, can still experience a great victory in his heart. Oh, David said in verse 6, I will not be afraid though 10,000 of them come up against me. That's right. And although David was driven from the city and driven from the palace and hated by his own son and hated by many others, yet David had the victory of God living down in his heart. Amen. And as we get into the text now, there's just three things that I want to cover in it this morning that I've outlined this psalm in. First of all, there was a conspiracy against David. Secondly, there was the confidence of David. And then there was the consolation we see from the hand of God. Now, if you'll note, if you would read chapters 15, 16, 17, 18 in 2 Samuel, you can read there about the conspiracy that came about in the life of David. It had its origin in Absalom, his own son. That's right, his own son. And then the conspiracy was added to, or it grew stronger, through Ahithophel, which was David's mighty counselor. Now, I want to make a note right there, fellas, and you mark this down in your little black book that Brother Hall told you this. It is very sad to say, but it's true, that in so many occasions in our lives, as well as in David, those that seem to be the closest to us in the ministry will be the very ones that will rise up against us in rebellion. Those that you do the most for many times will be the very ones that turn against you. There was David's own son, Absalom, raised in David's house, educated by David, fed at David's table, loved by David, cared for by David, and yet through jealousy and envy and strife, contrived a rebellious spirit within his soul, and rose up in not just rebellion against his daddy, but perpetrated a conspiracy to overthrow the David as king and to drive him from the city of Jerusalem. And then there was Ahithophel. There was Ahithophel, who was David's counselor, that sat at David's feet and gave him counsel on the decisions that he had to make in running the kingdom. That fella knew everything that went on at the house of God. That's, hey, fellas, that's sad.
I'm going to be honest with you. That is one reason that I don't sit down and discuss everything that goes on with everybody in the church. It is not wise, it is not a wise thing for everybody at the house of God to know intimately everybody else and what's going on in everybody else's life. That's right. And knowing every little decision that is made down at the house of God. If you was to read now, a perfect illustration of what I'm telling you is found in Psalm 41 in verse number 9. It is a messianic psalm. It is the psalm of Christ's rejection. And he tells there how an old familiar friend, he said. Well, he said, it wasn't somebody I didn't know, Jesus said, that rebelled against me. But it was my old familiar friend, Judas Iscariot, no doubt was as close to the Lord. Now, I know the Bible talks about John being the beloved disciple and how he laid his head on the bosom of Christ. But if you look at Judas Iscariot from a humanly viewpoint, you'll find that our Lord put great trust in that man. He trusted him with the money that he was the treasurer for the church. And the Lord put a tremendous amount of trust in Judas and in a way had a great amount of respect for him. But it was he that dwelt right in the midst of things, that always had his hand in everything that went on, that led the conspiracy against the Lord, that betrayed him, and not only betrayed him, but led a conspiracy into the Garden of Gethsemane to carry the Lord to Pilate's judgment hall and eventually would lead him to Calvary where he would die there for your sins and for mine. Now that's really sad to say, but it's true. Now, this conspiracy, and we'll get to a better part of it in just a minute, fellas. I'm trying to lay a foundation. But and you couldn't doubt that there was a conspiracy from the Scripture. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? If you read in chapter 15 of 2 Samuel, you would read there where it says, and the conspiracy was strong. It was strong. I mean, it wasn't something, fellas. It wasn't something at this point when David was fleeing the city of Jerusalem, and no doubt later, while he was in being pursued by Absalom, wrote this psalm. You'll have to understand that it didn't just surface at that particular time. It surfaced then, but it was in the heart of Absalom long before it ever come to surface. It really was. But when did it, if you look at the Scripture, you'll find that it really surfaced when Absalom set out to win the hearts of the people. If you'll read the account, Absalom sat at the gate where all... Don't die on me now, fellas. But Absalom sat at the gate where all the people of the city, I mean anybody that came in and anybody that went out, they had to go right by Absalom. And he made sure he told them, boy, he said, I wish I was a judge of Israel. He said, I'd treat every man fairly. I'd treat every man the same way, and I'd be fair. And in doing that, he attempted to win the heart to the people or to steal the affection of the people away from David. Now, fellas, I don't make no bones about this, and I'm just being honest with you. Brother Hall, I don't cut no corners. I try to lay it down and tell it just like it is. But I'm telling you, I get weary of minglers in the church. I'm talking about a fella that is friends with this crowd for a little while, and then he'll pick friends with this crowd for a little while, then he'll pick this crowd for a little while, he'll visit this family for a little while, and then he'll suddenly move away from that family to this family, and move away from this family to that family. I'm going to tell you what that guy's doing. He's trying to win the affection of the people and steal the hearts of the people of God. He's trying to get favor in the eyes of the people that if when his sin surfaces, when his sin finally comes to surface, then he's gonna figure the people are all on his side. That's exactly what Absalom did. He said he bowed to the people, he paid them homage, told them how great they were and how wonderful they were. And if I was the king around here, I wouldn't be treating you like this. I'd treat everybody equally. Fellas, you can't treat everybody equally in judgment. Did you hear what I said? The Lord will not treat everybody equally at the judgment seat of Christ. Neither will all lost sinners be treated equally at the great white throne judgment. Judgment can never be equal because nobody, no two lives are equal. No two men stand on the same ground with God. Amen. Now, that thing surfaced when Absalom tried to steal the hearts of the people in 2 Samuel 15 and verse number 6. But I want to say that it had its origin, but it had its origin. Really, it began long before that. It began down in the heart of a rebellious young man years before it ever come to surface. And that is where, hey, you know what rebellion is? I just told those men in the office a few minutes ago what rebellion is. Somebody said, every lost sinner is rebellious to God. No, they're not. Every lost sinner is in unbelief. But when light is shed and is rejected, unbelief becomes rebellion. See, that's what happened to Pharaoh. Pharaoh lived a life of unbelief. He was just an unbeliever, just a good old Joe, an unbeliever. But when Moses went back down into that city, he said, here's what the God of Israel says. The Bible said that Pharaoh hardened his heart and said, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? From that point on, you'll find in the Scripture that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. That's right. Because Pharaoh's unbelief, when light came and was rejected, brought rebellion. Now, this young man's rebellion surfaced when he tried to steal the hearts of the people. But it surfaced because he lived a life of unbelief. It was always in his heart, hidden down there. Unbelief and sin, hidden in the heart. I've found that. Amen. I've found that in the church. That when rebellion surfaces down at the house of God, it is always because there's a hidden sin in somebody's life that they don't want anybody else to know about. Fellas, I want to say that right here. I want to say this right here. Sometime, now you hear me well, Brother Hall is not a prophet and I'm not a son of a prophet, but sometime during the first couple of weeks in there of our revival, when Brother Range was here, rebellion came to Island Ford Baptist Church. A sin surfaced somewhere in this church, known only by God, that brought a grieving spirit to the house of God, the Island Ford Baptist Church. That's right. I know what I'm telling you is right. I'm not spiritually blind and I'm not spiritually ignorant. There's been people come to me in the last week and said, Brother Hall, I don't believe that the work at the church is finished. It's not finished. Revival is not finished. The work of God here is not finished. There's still a work to do. That's right. And it'll get done when whoever in rebellion is in rebellion to God, whenever they get right with God. I'm not trying to be ugly this morning, fellas. I'm not trying to be ugly. Look here. He said in verse 1, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. It surfaced when he tried to steal the hearts of the people. But it was strengthened. This conspiracy surfaced, but then it was strengthened by the counselor of David, the man of Ahitophel. I believe that's why David said, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. And I don't have the scripture back in 2 Samuel, but if you'd go back to 2 Samuel, David in so many words was asking questions about who was involved in the conspiracy. And one of his men said, Ahitophel's in the middle of it, David. David at that time may have stood back and said, how many? Who next? Who'll be next to rise up against me? Who'll be the next friend? Who will be the next friend that I've known to rise up against me and try to overthrow me at the house of God? Who'll be next? Many there be. Many there be. Fellas, you mark this. He said, they rise. They rise. I'm going to, can I say, look here. Everybody look right up here at me, fellas. One trouble after another trouble after, he said, many there be that rise up against me. If you think troubles in your life are going to lay down and lick your feet, you're a fool. If you think you're going to get through your Christian pilgrimage without troubles, fellas, you're a fool. And if you think you're going to whip one of them and the rest of them lay down like a pussycat and whine around your feet, you're a fool. Many there be that rise up. Can I say this to you on the authority of the Word of God, that troubles come in flocks and sorrow hath a big family. Troubles come in flocks. I mean, just over and over and over and over and over again. Our brother Chris thought he had his troubles licked when the kids got over the chicken pox. But there, hey, there's the backfall of the chicken pox. Pneumonia as a direct result of an infection that came about from the chicken pox. Hey, I'm talking about trouble and trouble and trouble in physical life, and spiritual life is no different. Trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble. And I've always learned this. You young preachers, take the word of what I'm saying. I've always learned this, that when one rises up against you at the house of God and you seem to get it behind you, it won't be long till the devil put another in and they'll rise. And they may come in as an angel of light. They may come in as an angel of light. They'll go out on that pale horse, buddy. That's right. It was strengthened. And then, notice this, that conspiracy surfaced, was strengthened, but it was also set. Notice what David said in verse number 6. He said, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. David said, I am surrounded by troubles. I'm surrounded by the enemy. The conspiracy is strong. Many there be that rise up against me. He said, hey, I'm driven from the palace. I'm no longer in the comforts of my own bed. I'm no longer enjoying the luxuries of my home. I'm camped out in the field. Heaven is my canopy. But hallelujah to God, I will not be afraid of how many surrounds me round about. He said, they're set on it. And you mark her down. Hear me well, fellas. The devil is set on destroying you. He's, hey, his mind is made up. Somebody said, my mind's made up to serve God. I hope so, because the devil's is made up to ruin you. And yeah, hey, and he'll always use somebody. He's always got some little wimp around that he can twist around his little finger that doesn't give a flip for God, flip for the church. They've got a little religious nature about them, but they don't know God. And all they are is ill worshipers at the house of God that the devil uses to browbeat his children. Oh, but there's time in a day. Hallelujah, there is time in a day. There's going to be a separation. There is time in a day. There's going to be a separation. There is time in a day. Oh yeah, there's coming a day, brother. When the accuser of the brethren be cast down, run out of our midst, then we'll enjoy the full blessing of God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. There's coming a day when Absalom will hang by his long hair in the locks of an oak tree. And Ahitophel in such confusion will run out and hang himself. That's what happened. That's what happened. Old Brother Roloff preaches on the mule walked on. That them golden locks caught old Absalom in the locks of an oak tree, the conspirator. Hung himself. That's right. I'm telling you, he got, look here. He rode the mule of rebellion. until it hanged him in the locks of an oak tree. I never thought about this till I heard Brother Phil Kidd preaching down at Brother Rain's camp meeting last June. He's talking about in 1 Kings 13, that lion and that donkey. You know, the young man got on the donkey and went back the same way he came. A lion came out, killed the man. And it said when the old prophet got there, there stood the donkey and the lion both. And he said, and I've never thought about it. He said, I wonder why the lion didn't kill the donkey. Here's what the answer he gave. He said they were both in it together. The donkey and the lion had teamed up against that young prophet to slay it. See, the donkey represented rebellion, the lion, the devil. That's exactly what happened to Mr. Absalom. He rode that mule of rebellion into the thick oak tree, buddy, and hung him by the locks of his hair. And when Ahitophel heard that Hushai's counsel had overrode his counsel in confusion, not knowing what to do. And by the way, the devil is the author of confusion. Some of you men and some of our ladies are confused about what's going on. I'm going to tell you who's behind it and the perpetrator of all that is. Old Slewfoot, the devil. So rebellion got hanged and confusion killed himself. David rode back into the city. Many there be that rise up against me, but I will not be afraid, though 10,000 rise up and surround me round about. Hallelujah to God. He said, I'm going to lay down and go to sleep. Yeah, I'm going to lay down and go to sleep. I'm going to lay my head down and go to sleep. Then I know I'm going to wake again, for the Lord has sustained me. Hallelujah to God. Ain't that right? Amen. I know it is. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Notice David's confidence. David said, I will not be afraid. What confidence? Though the conspiracy wax strong and rebellion in the midst, David said, I will not be afraid. What confidence? What confidence? See, and he could have that confidence, fellas, because he had a shield. That's right. He had a shield. Look at verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Woo! Not only a shield, but you're my glory and the lifter up of my head. Hallelujah to God. That's God. That's God, brethren. You're a shield. But I'm not going to be afraid. Hey, he said, hey, I've got God above me, God under me, God on the left hand, God on the right hand. I got a shield. What hour? That's right. Ain't that right? Look here. The shield. Protection. Yes, Brother Jerry. That shield is a protection which shall surround man entirely. Look here. It's a shield beneath, around, without, and within. That's right. Look here. That shield wards off the fiery darts of Satan from beneath us. It wards off the storms of trials from above us. And at the same time, it speaks sweet peace within us. Woo! Hallelujah to God. That's right. Let the storm cloud let me rage. Let the devil and his crowd have a time. Hallelujah to God. I've got a shield. That's right. That's right. I've got a shield, boys. It wards off the devil from beneath. Trials from above. And speak sweet peace. Right in there, old David said, I laid me down and slept. David! Aren't you worried? Absalom's after you. Ahitophel's giving him wise counsel. I will not be afraid. Though 10,000. David, you'll die any minute. Notice in that verse of that shield that God's divine trio of mercy. I'm talking about three of them. He said, but thou, O Lord, number one, art a shield for me. Number two, you're my glory. Number three, you're the lifter up of my head. What a divine trio of mercies. Get this. He said, David, I'm your defense when you're defenseless. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah to God. I don't know how Miss Ruth's going to, I don't know how she's going to translate. Woo! But she's going to have to learn to translate woo somehow. Look here, fellas. David in sackcloth and ashes on a mule with his feet bare and his head bowed, headed up toward the Mount of Olives, driven from his home, from his privacy, from his concubines, run out of his city, driven from his throne. But old David, as he went up, had no defense, but he said, hallelujah, I've got a shield around me, glory to God. Woo! Yes, sir. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk upright. That's God. Said defense for the defenseless, glory for the despised, and joy for the comfortless. He said, He'll lift up my head. Look here, David went out like this. He said, the Lord God's my shield and my glory. He said, I know He'll lift up my head. Remember one time I tried to preach in a church up in Virginia, and God just wasn't in it, and boy, I just fell flat. And I'll never forget that. When I got done preaching, old brother Donnie Glass came up to me and said, get your head up. Get your head up. And I thought, how can I except God lift it up? Brethren, may I say to you, by you enjoying what I'm saying, the smiles on your face, the shouts in your soul, the running of the eyes, hallelujah to God, today God has lifted up my head, hallelujah to God. Yes, He's lifted it up. You can't lift her up yourself, but God can lift it up for you. That's right. Note this, He'll lift the feeble knees. David may have went out this way, but buddy, David came back this way. Hallelujah to God. David said, my son Absalom. But Joab said, get on the throne. Amen. Lift your head up. Sit on your throne. There's a people that want to see you, David. Hallelujah to God. He'll lift up the feeble knees. He'll lift up the fallen. He'll lift up the forsaken. You fellas ever felt fallen and forsaken without God and without hope? Woo! But He lifted up your head. You remember when that conviction set in, you said, my God, am I that bad? He said, you're that bad. Lord, am I that sinful? Yes, you're that sinful. Lord, am I that ungodly? Yes, you're that ungodly. Lord, am I guilty? Yes, you're guilty. Lord, am I going to hell? No, because I've done to save you now. Lift up the head of those that are fallen and forsaken. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Yes. That's right. That's right. Look here, he had confidence because of the shield. Then that confidence was evidenced in verse number 5 when David said, I laid me down and slept. That's right. What confidence that David, in the midst of trouble, surrounded by his enemy, could find sweet rest. Just like Peter in Acts chapter number 12, the next day was supposed to be delivered up out of Herod's prison to be beheaded on Easter Sunday. Had going to cut off his head, guarded there by four quaternions of soldiers. And the Bible said when the angel come to deliver old Peter, he was laying there sound asleep. Yeah. Fellas, do you know why? Woo! Ha! Woo! Miss Ruth's going to have a hard time on this one. Hallelujah to God. Woo! You know why he lay there and went to sleep?
Because the Lord had already told old Peter. He said, Peter, when you was young, said you just lifted up yourself and went wherever you ought to go. But said, hey, when you're old, he said, another will bind you. And another will gird you. Do not be allowed to have your own free will. You know what he was saying? By this he signified how Peter should die, bound, crucified, upside down. I'm sure when they threw Peter in jail, somebody come down there and said, Peter, guess what? Herod's going to come down here and cut your head off. Peter said, wait a minute. God done told me something. Miss Ruth, can you get this on paper? Now, wait a minute, boys. Herod's going to cut my head off. The Lord already said I'm going to be crucified upside down. You know what I call that? Providence of God. And foreknowledge of God. Tell some of you guys worrying yourself sick. You worrying yourself sick about what's going to happen to you. Have you read the last chapter of the book? God said, I saw that holy beloved city coming down out of heaven to the bride adorned for her husband. That's right. Devil ain't going to have us. God's already said in the book, black book, we are going to glory. He's a liar. I tell you, the devil's a sick and reprobate liar. He's a liar. Hallelujah. Sleep at night. Rest in God. Trust in God. Believe that book. I tell you, it'll be just like my God said it would be. Hallelujah. Man, that's right. That's right. Amen. Many times while the storm rages around us, the Lord, through some wonderful scripture promise, allows us to find quiet rest. Amen. There's a young man in the Bible named Joseph. And his brothers threw him in a pit. And a caravan came by, hauled him off down into Egypt, sold him in slavery, and went into Potiphar's house. Potiphar's house, he went to the prison house. But from the prison house, woo! He went to the king's house. Now, want everybody to get a hold of what I'm getting ready to say right here. I would imagine when they throw Joseph down in that pit, Joseph said, Lord, I don't know what I've been doing in this pit, but surely I ain't going to die here. And the devil said, yes, you'll die here. Joseph said, no, I've had a dream. I have had a dream. Hallelujah to God. Yes, I've had a dream. I've had a dream. What'd you dream? He said, I saw my brothers doing this to me. That's right. That heifer come after him. That heifer tempted him to sin. They threw him in the prison house. I'm sure the butler and I'm sure the baker said, you'll die down here. But Joseph said, you don't understand. I have had a dream. I've had a dream. Yes, I've had a dream. Some good promise. I've had a dream. Amen. I've had a dream. And then, when those boys came looking for food, I'm sure Joseph turned around and said, what did I tell you, Satan? I had a dream. I had a dream. I'm about out of breath. I'm about out of wind. Getting old. Had a dream. He just laid down in the prison house and went to sleep. Laid down in the pit and went to sleep. Fellas, that's faith resting in the promises of God. That's all you have. Let your faith rest right there. Promises of God. And then David said in verse number 5, Thou laid me down and slept, and I awake, for the Lord sustained me. See, he had great confidence because of the shield. because that he slipped, because he was sustained. And then on down in verse 6, the Lord has smitten all mine enemies. Or verse 7, because he knew the Lord would smite all of his enemies. There's four S's when you're preaching, fellas. You want to preach them? That's right. He sustained me. David did not lay down to sleep in the lofty, in the safety of his palace, but possibly in a field under the canopy of heaven. In a time of great danger. Listen now, we're getting ready to get to the message. A time of great danger, great deception, and great division. There was danger of his life. There was deception through the conspiracy of Absalom. But there was also, fellas, a division. David went one way, Absalom went another way. Somebody said, "What are you saying, Brother Hall? For in last days, perilous time shall come." You know what the word perilous means? Dangerous. Dangerous time shall come. Men shall become lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. Look here, fellas. We're living in an hour of danger. Great deception when the Antichrist is deceiving many. In a time of division, even in the independent Baptist realm, we're seeing Baptist preachers divided on great issues and doctrines of that book. But I tell you, I've got confidence in God that in a time of danger, deception, and division, I will lay down and rest in Him. My belly was just a shaking. And the devil said, "Yep, you shook up because Absalom is going to get you today." But the Holy Ghost said, "You're just nervous because I'm going to preach the fire out of you." Yes! Amen! Yes! He sustained me, brethren. That's right. He sustained me. He protected me. He provided for me. He sustained me by His good grace. Said His enemies are smitten. Notice. His enemies are smitten. God's vengeance on the ungodly. He punishes, but has no pity. He said, "I'm going to knock her teeth out." Got that lethal weapon, boys. Mark her down, rebellious man. That God shows no pity. Unbelief, God will pity and send the Savior. Rebellion, judgment comes and there is no pity. Pharaoh said, "I'll go after him. I'll get him, I'll show him who's boss around here." You think God throwed up a white flag out in the desert and said, "Well," said Pharaoh, "please don't do it. I love you." He said, "Go ahead, big boy. When you get to the Red Sea, I'm going to knock every tooth in your head out." And then there's the Lord's consolation. It said in verse number 8, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord." This is the consolation. "Thy blessing is upon thy people." What a consolation. Though there's a conspiracy against us, God will console us with many blessings round about us. Now, I want to close with these words, fellas. I meant four things from this psalm that you need to put in your mind and remember. This is just the benediction. This is the capstone of the psalm, okay? Four things you need to remember. First of all, the word Selah is used 73 times in the book of Psalms, 3 times in the book of Habakkuk, and it's used 3 times in one little psalm of 8 verses, Selah. Now, that word has never been translated. It is the Hebrew, Selah, because there's no English word they can translate it to. When you read Selah, it's Selah. But most men believe that it's used in the singing of a song, and when you come to it, you're like, "Well, I know my name is written there." In other words, that word Selah means just pause a little bit. And it not only means to pause, but it means to pause and think. 3 times! In 8 verses. In verse number Verse number 2, verse number 4, and verse number 8, David says, stop! Thank God. Three times I stopped and thought, yep, the old devil's conspiring against me, but hallelujah to God. Woo! I come to this conclusion with Selah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Then get this. David had true grace. Absalom was a sham. Absalom was a religious hypocrite. And here's the thought. True grace can be shot at, but never shot through. Woo! You can shoot at it, but you can't shoot it through, fellas. I'll tell you to hold. Number three. We as God's people, many times, instead of rising above the weakness of the flesh, we take refuge under it and use it for an excuse. See, David never used the weakness of his flesh for an excuse. He said, I will. He said, my Lord. That's, I will not be afraid. Now, the way we are, we say, oh my God. And we compromise. I won't tell you this, the devil this, and anybody else this. I am not compromising. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Somebody said, Brother Hall, it can get rough. Yeah, what can they do? Kill me? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm pulled between two right now. Got a desire to go on and be with Him, which is far greater. But I feel like it's needful for me to remain a while, a little longer. I ain't quite run the whole race yet. Amen! Still got a few more things to do, and I believe one of them is to see the hand of God in revival. Hallelujah to God. Yes! Amen.